Here we go. Welcome. I am Matt. This is the Anarchist Investor Live, coming at you every Monday through Friday at noon Eastern on the Ungovernable channels, talking about contrarian investment markets, the economy, how to protect and grow your money and not get it stolen by shysters and banksters and all kinds of other people that are out there that want to get their hands on it. So that being said, I'm going to pull down the banner today on the hold screen. Yet again, we have gold. Why? Because gold continues to be the thing, man. Like, it's like the last couple of days, and we're going to look at silver too, because silver has finally started to wake up, and people are paying attention to silver when they've been sleeping on it for a while. But gold's up a percentage point right now. It's over 2,300 an ounce. There is something, and I'm going to get into this. There is something brewing here. And it's not going to be tomorrow. It's not going to be next week. But we're going to see that gold, and I wrote about this earlier today, gold is flashing an alarm right here. And the reason why is because most people don't understand how gold works. And so we're going to talk about how gold works today. And we're going to talk about why it's flashing the alarm. I'm going to pull up silver too. Silver's also kind of flashing alarm. Silver was up at almost $27. In fact, I think it top ticked 27 bucks per ounce. It is now trading at 26.70, give or take, up 3% on the day. Okay. The story with silver is slightly different than gold. So that's the thing you got to remember. A lot of times they look similar, but they can move for different reasons and diverge a little bit. And I think we're going to get into that too. Really quickly, let's look around the casino. The indexes are up. We'll talk about that. In the crypto space, Bitcoin is up a little bit after getting crushed for basically day and a half. Dude, I mean, like, I don't advocate people trade, but like, you know what? Sometimes I actually have half of a brainwave. And I was calling for support at 64,900. That's exactly what you got. So I know a bunch of people I watch online traded that 64,900 level. And you got a decent size bounce right there. We're not totally back into the middle end of this range yet. So it's still hovering down around the low. The relative strength is still below the moving average here. So watch out. There could be continued weakness in Bitcoin going forward, at least for a little while here. So, you know, you're not out of the woods. That's why I don't advocate for trading, because a lot of people will try and let it ride here thinking that they got a good long-term entry point. And I'm not sure that that's exactly the case. You know, little bounce off 64,900 back up to about, what are we trading at? Roughly 66,000 right now. We're going to continue to keep an eye on it. We're still within this kind of like longer term consolidation range here. If I pull up the daily chart, you'll see this kind of back and forth action happening. It might be a top in Bitcoin, or it could just be a consolidation pattern setting up. So we'll have to keep an eye on that one. The crypto market is like mixed today. So some things are up, like Solana, you know, some of the micro caps like Hive, Monero's up. Pirate Chain is up, and some of the super micro caps are up. A lot of the exchange cryptos are up on the day, even though a couple of them gotten ripped recently because of, you know, Bitcoin pulling back and whatnot. Let's check in on MicroStrategy. MicroStrategy is actually up about 5% today, despite the fact that it's not really proportionate to what Bitcoin is up. I think the moves there in MicroStrategy are over exaggerated, and part of that reason is because MicroStrategy isn't just buying Bitcoin with cash. They're using convertible notes and essentially what amounts to leverage. It's one of the reasons why I would never advocate anyone go anywhere near MicroStrategy as an investment. Even Michael Saylor is telling you to just buy Bitcoin. But that is a leveraged play on Bitcoin for my money. So it's up almost 5% today, even though Bitcoin isn't up nearly that much. So just something to pay attention to there. And then the tech space, you know, semiconductors and stuff like that, some things are basically flat to slightly up today. Intel's actually getting destroyed today. There's like, it's kind of a mixed bag. And usually I don't talk about the casino that much, but today we're going to talk about it because I think there's actually something bigger at play here. And I'm not going to pay too much attention more to, like, I mean, the only other thing I'm going to look at is high yield, and high yield is just kind of flat to up slightly. It's hovering at the bottom end of this consolidation range. And like I've talked about in the past, HYG is a leading indicator for where kind of like the casino and the stock markets are going to go, because it is that high risk end of the corporate debt market. And, you know, the money that plays around there, there's not a lot of individual investors that are buying in there. It's all funds. It's all mutual funds. It's all, for the most part, it's not even big individual investors. It's hedge funds and things like that. So you're going to see ahead of time when it starts to hit the fan, you'll see HYG start to move before everything else, whether it's higher or lower. Within the last couple of days, it's definitely been risk off. But that being said, it's still within this consolidation range. So, all right, let me, now that I've buried the headline, and a reminder, I'm here live, so I take your live comments and questions. If you're following anything, if you have an opinion on one of the investments I talk about during the day, especially a differing opinion, I want to hear about it, throw it into the comments, and I will, we'll talk about it. You know, we'll work through it. The other thing is, I don't get helped by the algo because I speak my mind. I slay some sacred cows sometimes. So definitely help me out with a subscribe, an upvote, or a like. Hit the notification bell, share this, and like I said, throw a comment in there. Even if you're listening or watching to the recorded version, I will get back to you. I want to have a conversation. So that being said, back on gold. Gold is breaking out, right? And now if I pan out here into like a much wider picture here on gold, okay? And I'm going to pull this share down for a second, and I'm actually going to pull up what I wrote about yesterday. Actually, was this 2 days ago? It was on the first, 2 days ago. Was essentially what gold is warning of, okay? And then earlier today, I also wrote a post about Bitcoin and gold and how people don't understand what they really are, like what they represent in the marketplace. Okay. Specific to gold, this post 2 days ago, and if you're not subscribed, go to anarchistinvestor.substack.com. I'm also giving away free Bitcoin on May 1st. So definitely get in there. Every single time gold breaks to new highs, when it has these like rips throughout history, usually bad stuff is happening at that time or just a little bit after it, okay? And so in this article, I go through each one of the biggest rips that have happened within gold starting back in the 1930s, okay? So 1932 to 1934, Great Depression, right? 1968 to 1980, the great inflation, right, of the 1970s, in addition to a bunch of geopolitical stuff like people remember or if they've read about, depending on how old you are, you know, the problems in Iran and gas lines and shortages and embargoes and Cuba and everything like that that happened in the 70s. All of that stuff corresponds with a gigantic rip in gold. Okay. 2007 to 2011, gold starts ripping before the great financial crisis. Okay. 2015 to today, gold started its move in 2015. Didn't start its move in 2019 or 2020. It started its move in 2015. Why? Because the people that are buying gold, and here's where the misnomer comes in. And this is why people need to, you should subscribe to the newsletter and look at today's newsletter as well. A lot of people subscribe to this idea that gold is this great inflation hedge. That's wrong. I'm going to say that again. Gold is not a great inflation hedge. It's an inflation hedge, but it's not a good one, okay? It used to be a better one back in the 30s and leading up to when we came off of the gold standard in the early 70s. Gold was a much better inflation hedge because it was much more readily, first of all, held by people, and second of all, exchanged back and forth between fiat currency and gold. And it's not anymore because that's no longer the standard. People have forgotten about it, okay? What gold is today, and actually was back then too, in addition to being an inflation hedge, is it is insurance. Gold is insurance. And it's insurance against essentially chaos, okay? Typically geopolitical chaos, which almost always coincides with financial chaos and catastrophes. All right. And it typically rallies ahead of time because that pressure cooker starts to build before the explosion, right? Before the bad stuff happens, there's all this stuff that leads up to it. And all of those things, when you pile them on top of each other, people that are really good at risk managing, they see those things and they say, well, you know what? We're making really good money over here in the stock market because anyone who's been watching the stock market, they've been watching the casino, the things to the moon within the last like year and a half, right? We've been making really good money, but there are these other things over here lurking that we're worried about. So we're going to keep money to work in these like high beta, high risk areas because we're making money. But at the same time, we're going to buy things like gold as an insurance policy, not because we're anticipating inflation. I have to say that again, not because they're anticipating inflation. It's because they're afraid of what the future looks like. Okay. Now, sometimes that corresponds with inflation. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay. And the reason why I would say sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't, because that's very much determined by what the Federal Reserve response is. Okay. So the inflation might end up happening, but people who are buying gold aren't anticipating what the Federal Reserve is going to do, right? That just might add fuel to the fire. And so the inflationary portion of it might extend gold's move. All right. But the reason why people start buying it, the reason why years prior to the explosion, why people start buying gold is because they're hedging their risk against not just uncertainty, but possible catastrophe. Okay. Just look at the most recent scenario. 2015, and I'll pull up the chart here. 2015, gold bombs out and it starts moving higher. All right. And actually, I have a monthly chart here. 2015. All right. Gold bottoms out in September, October of 2015. And it starts to move higher, builds a base, starts to move higher, really starts to break out starting in June of 2019. No one was talking about COVID or shutdowns or anything like that. What's happening in June of 2019? What's happening is the Federal Reserve tried to take the cocaine away from the market in late 2018 and early 2019, and they found out that the financial system was going to crash again because it can't survive without the aid of the Federal Reserve. So in late 2019, the Federal Reserve has to completely reverse course, drop interest rates back down, stop doing quantitative tightening, give the cocaine back to the stock market. Well, people buying gold are like, I don't know. This is scary, right? Like the Federal Reserve couldn't reverse everything that they did to try and fix 2007 to 2009. And in fact, what people don't understand is the Federal Reserve was doing stuff all the way through to like 2015. There was QE1, QE2, QE3, QE4, QE5. They had to do like five different iterations of quantitative easing. Gold and people buying gold, every single time that happened, it would rally, pull back, rally, pull back, rally, pull back. Why? Fear, right? Gold right now is rallying, not because of anticipated inflation. Okay. Now I've told you, I anticipate inflation down the line, but it's not going like inflation's not on the horizon. Okay. What's on the horizon is financial problems. And then what happens after the financial problems is typically the Federal Reserve acts and causes inflation. All right. So it's very important to understand how that process plays out. All right. What's going to happen is, and I'll actually look back to 2007, 2008, and this will show you how this works, okay? Gold starts to ramp leading into the problems. And then typically what happened is the problem hits, okay? The Federal Reserve steps in, cuts rates to make things better, so to speak. Gold takes a little bit of a breath here, it pulls back, and then it starts to rally again. Why? Because the Federal Reserve can't fix things that quickly. Everyone psychologically is like, oh, whew, wow, yeah, Federal Reserve's on our side again. They're giving us our cocaine. Things are going to be okay. And then all of a sudden, a couple of months later, everyone figures out, oh, shit, things aren't going to be okay. they're not fixing anything. They're just trying to take the edge off, but the disaster is still going to happen. Okay. Gold takes a little bit of a break and then it resumes its rise. And then it continues to resume its rise, even while stock markets are starting to go back up again. Why is that? It's because even after that period of time, there's still danger, right? Like it's once the Fed puts the duct tape and the saran wrap and anything it can in order to try and piece the financial system back together. Once it does that, it's not like everything is hunky-dory all of a sudden. There's still a lot of shit that could go wrong and tip that thing over into a depression. All right. And so even after the Fed steps in, typically gold continues to rise because that risk premium is still there. There's still a risk of things getting worse. In addition to that, inflation causes some of that rise in gold. But so what you notice is throughout most of these financial crises, you see gold rally ahead of time. It takes a little bit of a break when the Fed steps in, but when it starts to rally again, it's because there's still that hangover effect of that risk of things that could go wrong in addition to the inflation that pushes it forward, okay? So that's why gold is not a perfect inflation hedge. Gold is, the first thing it is a warning sign, right? It's a warning signal. Now, does that mean that, you know, markets are going to crash tomorrow and everything's going to hell? No, this is a long-term cycle, okay? So if you notice, when gold started to rally leading into 2007, 2008, it starts all the way back, like right after the dot-com era, right? And then it consolidates for a couple of years and then begins to rally again, okay? It consolidated through 2006 and 2007. And in late 2007 is when it starts to move up. If you notice, we had a rally in gold. We've consolidated throughout basically the end of 2020 into here the beginning of 2024. And now we're breaking out again, right? History doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. So what's happening next is the market is going to throw a fit. Something's going to happen. We already know like the known risks are already there. We know commercial real estate's a problem. We know China is a problem, right? Their real estate market has already fallen apart. We know the rest of the world, many of the Western countries are in recession, all right? Another shoe is going to fall. It could be any of those, or it could be an exogenous risk that we don't even know about. Like, knock on wood, I hope it's not World War III, all right? But these things just seem to coincide. You could say that like investors have inside knowledge and they think these things are going to, or they know these things are going to happen ahead of time. And that's why they position themselves. Maybe that's true. What could also be true is that just economic cycles coincide with this bad crap that happens. Okay. Knock on wood. I really hope it's not World War III. But that being said, it still could be a gigantic financial shock. Okay. Gold's not rallying because everything's great. Gold's rallying because some stuff's about to go down, right? And what you're going to see is gold's probably going to rally to 24 or 2500. You're going to see the proverbial shit hit the fan. The Fed's going to step in and actually start cutting rates like it's promised. Gold will pull back. When it begins to rally again, will be the tail end of that bad stuff, and that'll be the inflation portion of that move in gold, okay? From the Fed cutting rates and going back to quantitative easing and doing all the rest of the stuff it's going to have to do that we've never even seen before, right? Because with every single one of these crises, they have to go deeper and deeper and deeper into this, like, you know, creative grab bag of tools and things that they have at their disposal, right? Along with the U.S. Treasury. So that's probably what's going to happen. You're going to see gold move to 2,500. Everything's going to hit the fan. The Fed's going to step in. They're going to cut rates. Okay, gold's going to pull back. Everyone's going to have a sigh of relief. The market will probably put in another high on lower relative strength. It'll basically be a dead cat bounce. And then the drop happens. All right. And that drop will then coincide with gold rising again, because gold is going to rise again because of the fear portion of it, as well as the inflation that's going to be created from the Federal Reserve's intervention. Now, everyone who thinks, and I'm just going to check the comments real quick just to make sure I'm not missing anything. Like I said, I'm live. I'm here to take your comments and your feedback. If you think I'm full of crap, let me know. If you're with me, then give me a hell yeah. I feel like stone cold. But that being said, a lot of people think that there's lifeboats out there that they don't really understand are really not lifeboats. So for instance, silver isn't necessarily a lifeboat. Silver, I would argue, reacts more to inflation than it does to anything else. So a lot of people, you know, a lot of people quote JP Morgan, like gold is money and everything else is credit. Okay. I actually don't think that's true anymore because it's just not popular anymore, right? Like gold used to be more widely held by people. And so it was technically money. I mean, gold still is money. The issue is that, you know, very few people hold it and very few people use it. I would argue that silver is more akin to money than gold is right now because one, it's more accessible based off the price point. And two, it seems to react to inflation more closely than gold does. Gold is more of a fear indicator, whereas I would say silver is more of an indicator of inflation. And in fact, during periods of inflation, hyperinflation, stagflation, silver tends to outperform in those scenarios. Okay. Gold usually rallies ahead of time because there's a warning that bad stuff's coming, if that makes sense. All right. Now, a lot of people think that Bitcoin is going to be their lifeboat, right? A lot of people think that the Titanic's going down, the lifeboat that is Bitcoin will save everyone. I have bad news for you. I really don't think that's true. I'm sorry. Like, I have Bitcoin. I want it to be true. I want Bitcoin to be worth $1 million per coin. I don't think it's true. And I'm going to tell you why. So first, like I said, we're back within this consolidation range. Bitcoin's not rallying while gold is. That's a big telltale sign. If gold is a lifeboat and so is Bitcoin, why is Bitcoin not rallying right now? Right? There could be certain market mechanics like, you know, the ETF, and there's outflows on some of the futures ETF that's out there versus the spot ETF that opened up and whatnot. But for the most part, that should just be like, that should just net out, right? So there should be some up, some down, and it should just move sideways. Well, I mean, we had big rally, fall back. I mean, maybe some of that's true right now. But at the same time, wouldn't there be additional money flowing into Bitcoin and pushing this thing higher, regardless of what's coming out of GBTC and moving into the other ETF, right? Regardless of that mechanic, shouldn't there be additional money moving into Bitcoin right now if Bitcoin is a lifeboat? I don't think so. I think what Bitcoin is waiting for is for the Fed intervention. And the reason why it's waiting for the Fed intervention is because, amongst other things, Bitcoin is directly related to inflation. And the reason why is because it trades like a NASDAQ stock. I'm just waiting for the Bitcoin folks to like send me hate mail now, because this is going to be, I wrote about this morning. Like I said, I'm going to reiterate it right now. And I'm going to show you real time why Bitcoin is a NASDAQ stock. And it is not this like, you know, digital gold or, you know, lifeboat that everyone wants it to be. All right. So this is the monthly chart of Bitcoin versus the US dollar. What I'm going to do is I'm going to remove all the markings, right? And I'm going to overlay over the top of it. I could do one of two things. I'll do both of them, right? The first thing I'm going to overlay over the top of it is the NASDAQ index, all right? So the orange line is the NASDAQ index. I don't even know if I have to explain this. I mean, it looks almost identical. They ebb and flow together. And this movement means that, you know, these tech stocks and these financial stocks that make up the NASDAQ index are very sensitive to inflation. A lot of their valuation is based off of debasement of the dollar. The same thing with Bitcoin, all right? Now, that being said, that means that Bitcoin is essentially just analogous to a tech stock, all right? There seems to be this religious fervor around Bitcoin that it is something grander and greater than that because there's a limited supply or whatever. I think that's already, like, if you're still hanging on to that one, I don't think you understand the idea of, like, you know, how something can be fractionalized. Like, Bitcoin can be fractionalized more than gold can. Like, you can legitimately get down to one atom of gold. You could go further than that with Bitcoin. It could be 0.00000000000, like a million zeros and a one of Bitcoin, right? You can fractionalize Bitcoin as much as you want. So I'm not sure that limited supply thing holds up. The other thing is just look at its behavior. Look at how it trades, okay? Now, you could continue to make the argument that it's something different and it's just being manipulated by Wall Street, which I actually think is also part of this. But you have to understand that most of these cryptos, at the heart of them, are essentially technology stocks. They're a blockchain that stores data in, you know, a similar way to all the other blockchains. Some of them are a little bit different based off of the size and the frequency and the efficiency and how they're validated and how the crypto works, how the cryptography works, right? But at their essence, they're essentially a blockchain that stores data, and then transactions are recorded in that blockchain and applications are built off the top of it. That's it. It's a tech stock. That's what it is. And the value of the crypto is based off of how readily it's utilized and what it's utilized for, right? What the use case is. It's a NASDAQ stock. I'm sorry. I want to believe, okay? But at the same time, I think there's a desperation in the belief of a lot of people that think that Bitcoin is going to be this lifeboat, okay? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen right now. And I could be completely wrong. Hopefully I am, because there's a lot of people that are overly leveraged and overly bought into Bitcoin right now. What's going to happen is Bitcoin will pull back. It will then rally once the Federal Reserve cuts rates and intervenes, just like most of the NASDAQ will do, and the small cap Russell and all the high risk, high beta things that react positively to lower interest rates. But ultimately, that final leg higher will be the top, and then it will fall. And what will happen is gold will continue to go up and Bitcoin will suffer along with the rest of the tech stocks and the rest of the high beta names, because that's what it is. And then eventually it'll catch a bottom and it'll begin to move higher. Now, I really hope that this is not like, you know, dot-com bubble 2.0. Because if it is, you're not going to see a comparable price in Bitcoin after this subsequent rise. You won't see a comparable price in Bitcoin, if ever, for like another 10 or 20 years. And that's a big if ever, because that's assuming that it can fend off all the rest of these other cryptos that could potentially supplant it, that might be more efficient or have different apps built off the top of them, right? I think what's more likely is the crypto space continues to grow. The crypto space will peak, it will fall off like the dot-com bubble did, and then it will percolate for a while and grow, and these use cases will begin to like mature, and then you will end up having these you know, primary layer blockchain ecosystems that develop these incredible apps off the top of them, that in 10 or 20 years, get back to the valuations that you have right now. I hope, knock on wood, I hope that's not true, okay? But all I can tell you is what I see in the charting and what it looks like in the chart. Now, I told you, this was the NASDAQ. I'm going to show you the semiconductor index, right? Like right now, AI, semiconductors, NVIDIA, everything like that. I'm going to put the SMH up here, all right? This is the semiconductor index. It's not exact, but look at the ebb and flow. Semiconductors rise, Bitcoin rises. Semiconductors fall, Bitcoin falls. Semiconductors rise, Bitcoin rises. I mean, what can I tell you? That being said, I started the episode talking about gold not being a great inflation hedge. The best inflation hedge, technically, if we want to talk about it, is stocks. Because stock prices are denominated in dollars. And whenever inflation happens, the stock market goes up typically. Now, if you ascribe to Austrian economics, there is a point at which that breaks down, I don't think we're there yet. We haven't hit hyperinflation. Okay. I'm not totally convinced we're in this like crack up boom cycle just yet. I think that might be the next economic cycle after this, especially if the Federal Reserve tries to fight this 40 years that we're supposed to have of higher interest rates and saving money. If they try and fight that, then you could see the connection between inflation and equities like stocks break down, where you get tons of extra inflation and the stock market actually doesn't keep up with it because that inflation destroys demand for products and consumption and things like that. But right now, this is what I see. I mean, it's an AI stock. It's a chip stock. It's a tech stock in the NASDAQ. I'm sorry. You could call it whatever you want. Yeah, whatever. I'm going to stay poor. Sorry. But that being said, this story is going to play out over the next, I would give it like six to 18 months. Okay. And granted, that's a long like runway for this thing to happen. But over the next 6 to 18 months, you're going to see this probably play out. Pull back, rip to new high on lower relative strength after the Fed sticks its nose in. Okay. And then the actual crash happens. It could be even faster than that. Could happen over, you know, the next 3 or 4 months, depending on what the Federal Reserve does and how quickly the commercial real estate market falls apart. But, you know, real estate is slow. You saw what happened in 2007 to 2009. It took a long time for all those blank checks to come due. Same thing's going to happen here. And they're going to try and put as many Band-Aids on it as possible. But realistically, that's what I'm looking at. I wish I had better news. The good news is that if you own gold, or if you're buying gold, or even if you're buying silver right now, you're actually in a good place. If you have a mix of these assets, if you're risk managing yourself well, then you're actually in a good place, okay? Now, if you look, this is silver compared to, and I can't do an hourly on the SMH, but let's look at it monthly. This is silver compared to the semiconductor index. It's somewhat similar, with the exception of there's this giant anomaly where there was an attempted takeover of the silver industry. Okay. Outside of the Hunt brothers trying to take over silver, this chart is very much similar. Why is that? Well, look, silver hasn't taken off yet, but the semiconductor index has. Why is that? It's because the semiconductor index directly is related to inflation. Silver is related to inflation as well. It just takes a little while, which is why silver is playing catch up today, up almost 4%. Okay. And what's more than likely is silver would continue to play catch up even while the semiconductor index and the NASDAQ and the S&P react to whatever the Federal Reserve is about to do. All right. With a little bit of probably a tantrum before that happens. Okay. You're going to see gold peak probably at 2,500, pull back, and then continue to rally. And once all the smoke clears, gold will continue to rally for a little while, or at least you'll think the smoke is cleared. It will continue to rally for a little while because there will still be some extra risk left over in the system while that happens. So that's what I got. That's the whole thing for today. A reminder. If you're not subbed to the newsletter, please do. I'm giving away Bitcoin. Bitcoin might not be a lifeboat, but it's still an investment. Still worth having in your portfolio. Should it be 100%? Hell no. Should it be 5 or 10% if you're young? Sure. I'll even give you 15%. In fact, I would say if you're going to make crypto 5, 10, 15% of your portfolio, please hold more than just Bitcoin. It is ridiculous to hold just one crypto thinking that you know the answer in a world full of cryptos, okay? Diversify your portfolio. Pick a couple of other layer ones, please. Please. And remember that when they run up after the Federal Reserve steps in, that's not like, you know, time to load up even more. That's get out of Dodge time, because that's the lights are being turned off at the bar. That's like the final hurrah, right? That's last call. Just something to remember. All right. With that, look, I'm here every Monday through Friday live at noon Eastern. I want you to join me. A reminder, please help me out with a thumbs up or a comment on the live or recorded version. So with that, I appreciate everyone. I hope that you have a fantastic afternoon. Keep your heads on a swivel. I'll keep doing my job. You guys keep tuning in. And I appreciate every single one of you. So with that, I will see you tomorrow afternoon. Peace.